Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Yeah, it's that time we open up our textbooks for Social Studies and we send it back to the Ak-Chin Community Studios, where we're joined by our host of Social Studies, Sarah Kazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Sarah.
I have a question that I would like to ask on behalf of Jarrett Carlin before we get started.
Okay.
During the last update you just did, you referenced the Nico Mannion era.
Yes, the very brief
Jarrett
era.
Wanted to know if you actually meant error.
I said that out loud to myself in the studio. It's amazing, Vince, that you knew that.
Oh, that's funny. No comment, but yes, it was... not
disappointing.
What fans were expecting.
Underwhelming.
Yeah. Yes.
And I didn't know he played for Duke. Because he said in his statement he played for the best fans in the country.
Oh, gosh. Terrible.
I'm sorry. I got a bunch
no,
of
No, you're
them.
Not.
Oh, is this thing on?
All right, I'm going to cut you off
right
there.
Come back for the
10
o'clock show. It's much different from the early show. Gosh. Trust me. Okay, fine.
I'm going to cut you off right there, Benny. All right. Social Studies is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Stop by your nearest Sonic today for the new sweet and tangy bacon slinger for only $2.99. You can find that now at Sonic, but for a limited time. All right, lots to cover here in this day's edition of Social Studies. Of course, you know, the biggest story by far here in Phoenix is the Jeff Passan report from last night. Phoenix could become home base for Major League Baseball starting as early as May. We will see. But of all of the many challenges that come with making Phoenix basically the camp for the summer, what do you think is the most challenging? This poll has four options for you to pick from. The first being outdoor games in the Arizona heat, in the summer heat. Players being away from their families for 4.5 months. Keeping players and staffers safe with testing and, you know, just making sure that there's no kind of spread, mitigating the spread, or the kind of schedule that they would have to do out here in Arizona. A lot of changes, but what do you think is the most challenging?
I'll let you go first, Bick.
Okay, I think you can break this down. The idea of getting players on board, I don't think that's going to be a hard thing to achieve. Either the majority will or they won't, and I believe that most want to. And I think that's the way it would go. I think it would roll into players going, okay, fine, under a certain amount of circumstances. The playing the games, the Arizona heat, I think that might be, that might turn out to be the hardest thing. But I think going in, the managing to make sure that there is, that these guys actually stay sequestered will be the hardest thing.
For me, it's the health safety testing portion of it. And I've given a lot of concerns on the other areas, but... I mean, the fact of the matter is coronavirus doesn't give a rat's behind whether or not Major League Baseball wants to come back.
No, yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see. We've got 41% right now voting for outdoor games in the heat being the most challenging. That is followed immediately by the health, safety, and testing of it all. That's 38% of the vote. 13% of our voters say the most challenging part is the players being away from their family for the whole season. And then 8% are most concerned about the schedule.
I'm shocked by those results, quite honestly.
Really?
That outdoor games in the heat would get 41% of the vote. You realize, fans, that you're not going to those games.
Yeah.
That's what, and I think people can't get their heads around it. Baseball is also a stop and start kind of sport. You can play it in heat, extreme heat, I don't know about, but it's not like full court basketball.
They play soccer games in the middle of the summer.
All over the world. I don't think that's going to be an impediment for the players. Mm. Now, for drawing fans, of course, but there's no fans involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys had Pedro Gomez, easy enough for me to say, on the show yesterday. You also had Buster Olney on today. So a lot of conversations around Major League Baseball and what changes could be coming to the format of the season itself this summer if they do indeed play. Another four-option poll. Which change to Major League Baseball would you be most in favor of? Would you like to have players mic'd up during the games? Would you like a universal DH rule? Do you want 7-inning games? Make it move a little bit faster, or do you want to do the California tiebreaker rule to avoid long extra inning games, runners on second, starting in extras? What change would you like to see?
This is a tough one. I considered three of them. I considered players' mic during the game. I think that adds a great element to the broadcast. But why it works right now is because it's being rolled out there in very low-pressure situations, spring training, all-star games and stuff. When games are on the line and they mean something, I think the players might tend to clam up.
Oh, definitely. Sure.
So I eliminated that one. I've been in favor of a universal DH since I was 5 years old, so I considered that one. But I think I would go with runners on second and extra innings, but starting in the 11th inning.
Okay, let him play the 10th.
Interesting. Yeah.
Me, and again, I get killed every time I advocate this. I'm a big fan of the idea of seven-inning games in the future, but I need to acknowledge that to me, the length of the game is not the number one impediment to baseball. It is the inactivity, the ball not getting in play. I think the most progressive change that Major League Baseball needs to do, how do you speed up the interface between a pitcher and a hitter? Do you say you can't get off the mound, you can't get out of the batter's box? Do you get really crazy and go three pitch at bats where two strikes you're out, two balls you're on first base?
Start with a 1-2 count.
Well, those are all the kind of two. Or two and one.
Yeah,
right.
You start two and one.
Now, yeah.
It's one strike, you're out at the old ball game.
Were you guys surprised that Buster pretty much said that within the next decade, the seven-inning game is going
to
happen?
Well, you saw my reaction to it. I was like, I can't believe that.
Don't tease me, Bick. I didn't see your reaction. What did you do?
I was as surprised as Jarrett was.
So you're going with seven-inning games?
I am.
Okay. For you guys, I think you're both going to be maybe not terribly surprised to hear this, but 39% of the vote goes to they want players mic'd up during the games. That is their number one change they would most be in favor of.
Vinny is so right about this, though. When they had Anthony Rizzo was mic'd up. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was phenomenal, but he also got to the point, I forgot what he said, but I thought, okay, that the opponent's not going to like that.
Because he was calling exactly what was going to happen.
That's what
it was.
It
was a Tony Romo moment baseball.
He also said at one point, too, he's trying to identify what pitch was coming. He said, somebody bang it for me. And he made reference to the Houston Astros. So
I just think when things get serious, guys are going to clam up big time.
All right.
I think so, too.
Let's move on to one more question here. If you were stranded on a desert island...
Kate Upton. Was that...
Oh, come on.
That
is so good.
I apologize.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Great selection. I forgot to give the context for the question. Dana White, the head of honcho with UFC, is purchasing an island more or less to have fights on so that UFC can roll on without having to worry about the coronavirus. So we're putting you guys on a stranded island. You're bringing one book, one movie, one TV show, and one album. What are your picks?
My book would be How to Get Off a Deserted Island.
Somebody made that.
Strong.
That's excellent.
Movie. Got to go with something that's going to make you laugh, right?
Of course.
I'd go with Kingpin, the funniest movie ever made. I know. Reaction's going to come. Mm-hmm. Television show. I'm rewatching 30 Rock, so that would be my answer right now. One album, this is where I would take a turn. I go from the comedy. All the albums that I really love are just dark, depressing crap, so it's hard to narrow it down.
And how about a book? Or that was your serious answer?
I like the answer. How to Get Off a Desert.
Are you there, God?
How to Build a Fire by Friedrich Nietzsche. That's right. Right. Or Tom Hanks. That's what I want to do. How to Spear a Fish. How to Build a Raft.
What are your answers?
How to turn a porta potty into a sail.
What are your picks?
The book I would take the hardcover book I'm reading right now, because I would guarantee to never finish it because it's a big steaming pile, and I'm really mad for spending $30 on it.
Do I identify the book?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Not going to call it out? Okay.
Album. What is a great top-to-bottom album in my genre? Maybe Disturbed's first album. Maybe Back in Black. Maybe... I'll say
Zeppelin,
Back...
Nothing Zeppelin?
Zeppelin, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Was it TV show?
TV show and movie.
Yes.
Where are you going to plug in the television?
I know. I put in the question that you have the ability to watch all this stuff in this house.
I don't know.
It's hard to answer,
whatever,
right?
Vinny says. Yeah, I'd have to think about it for a while.
Yeah, you'd have to ask me and Vinny which movie.
But somebody... But, right. But somebody pointed out, Vinny, that if you like Tiger King, you really should give Trailer Park Boys a shot. And I thought about it. I'm like, that's right on the money, because it's that kind of a freak show. Now, it's not...
I got time.
Okay.
I got time.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. There's Social Studies.
Thank you,
for
Sarah.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Thank you,
thank
Sarah.
You.
Coming up next, we'll talk some basketball or the concepts of basketball in a return. Casey Jacobson, former Phoenix Sun, he'll join us next. Pickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Pickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Pickley and Marotta on this Tuesday. Pick coming to you live from the Auction Community Studios. I have to ask you this question, Ben.
Yeah.
As a parent of a 10-year-old,
absolutely.
I didn't call him a monster, just a 10-year-old.
Yep.
How deep is his particular school/district in the online instruction?
They're
process
not.
Right
I don't believe that they've really got a good system in place yet. They're a traditional kind of educational experience, so I don't think that's what they're built for. I know he's been doing homework packets that were actually scanned and sent back to his teachers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because yesterday I spent a good portion of my afternoon after the show. So my son's in eighth grade. So his school/district rolled out their online education thing. So I'm talking to him after the show yesterday. I said, "How'd everything go? Good?" It's like, did you get on to your meetings? Did everything go smooth? Well, I couldn't log on. I was like, well, how did it go good if you couldn't log on?
Right.
I got to tell you. The process of education from the student standpoint, and maybe it's just because I'm older now, There's so many websites and logins and things that they have to track, and I was pulling my hair out. I did it all without consuming an alcoholic beverage. I don't know how I did it. So,
did you hear Gambo yesterday talking about trying to help his
No, I missed that.
Right, he tweeted something about a math problem I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm not going to figure this out.
It's amazing, and I'm so glad that the technology's in place, that the kids can actually continue their education during this time. But, man, there's a bunch of challenges built into it.
Yeah, no, I heard that. And just it's interesting, too, just watching kids and how they process this. You know what I mean? Because they don't have the perspective that us older folks have. Yet they kind of like not having schoolwork, yet they want structure.
Yes.
You know, they know they're not making the right decisions. Like I said, my 10-year-old, when he blatantly defied my order to not play Fortnite, not only did it speak to my lack of authority in my own house, but you know what I mean? But it just, I could not believe that he made that decision. And they're unmoored. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to say, both my kids, different ages, 14, 24, they have just been, like, taking everything in stride with
this.
That's
good.
I couldn't imagine being a kid going through this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, life was different back when I was their ages, but...
Yeah.
Well, you see, if this happened when you guys were their ages, you couldn't do online classes. I don't know what... It would have to just be homeschooling.
No, I mean... I don't think you could do online classes on the Commodore 64.
When there was no online. You have to wait online.
You probably
take
could.
Take classes through the mail.
Yeah. Well, it's I don't know if you saw some of this. Zoom has sort of opened up a new world for teachers who want to connect with their students, yet there's some hacking going on. There's some hacking and then some streaming of some things that young
I've heard those stories as
seeing.
Well. Yes.
Yeah, right?
I've heard, do you remember, you ever watch The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Remember Bart's running gag where he would call Moe's Bar and he would always ask for somebody and it was a gag name, like his
Is there a huge ass here? Huge ass?
Why can't I find a man to hug and kiss?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot of kids signing on to their Zoom session, so their name is something along those lines, except a lot more disgusting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that going on, and yeah. it's kind of what John Harbaugh was worrying about in the NFL.
Yeah,
that because there's all this Zoom technology now, and like for instance, take a look at what the Arizona Cardinals have done here. They've run some press conferences sequentially with athletes and coaches, and they're doing it all via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I don't think for a minute that this won't be considered to be a new model. Well, sports teams who need and want to service the media, but don't necessarily want to open up their facilities to the media.
Well, we've joked about it for years, and it happens a lot during football season, because even as recently as last season, there's a time in the week where the opposing coach in an NFL city meets with the media from the other city. So if, like, the Cardinals were playing the Ravens, John Harbaugh would jump on a conference call, but it was a conference call on a speakerphone, and everybody would kind of hold their phones up to record it. So if we played the sound on the radio, it sounded just absolutely
terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, right.
It's been replaced now by the Zoom call, I believe.
Yeah.
You'll just log in and get much more quality interaction that
way. Man, I wish I had bought stock in Zoom before all this.
Yeah, tell me about it. Although John Harbaugh didn't say very nice things about Zoom yesterday.
Big concern. My level of involvement has been every time I read something in like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals like we came out this morning, I immediately text it to our IT people. And Nick Matteo is one of those guys. And they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible.
That's John Harbaugh being paranoid about being hacked with the virtual draft going on.
And I said earlier the thing, and you basically laughed at me, as you should have, because it was a very Pollyanna-ish thing to say. But I really believe this. I really wish in the arena of professional athletics that the idea of pretty pure competition was important to the people who are involved, to the coaches and to the players. You want them to believe that beating somebody fairly is important to them, that it's not winning at all costs. Now, yeah, there might be elements in an organization that only care about winning that mm-hmm. might want to cheat and find loopholes and bend rules to accommodate that. But you would really hope on some level that these entities, these professional sports teams, would care enough about the integrity of sportsmanship, competitive sportsmanship. I don't mean being gracious in defeat, and I don't mean picking up an opponent who fell on the ground. What I'm talking about is honoring the idea that this is me versus you. This is we versus them, and that kind of stuff. And that the idea of actually competing fairly would matter to the people who did it, because that's why they became athletes. Because competing mattered to them.
And you know my thought, Bick.
I'm an idiot. I know.
No, competition was created on a Monday, and cheating was created on a Tuesday.
That's a good point.
Cheating was created Monday afternoon.
afternoon, right? But I just wish at some level, because you're hearing finally the one good thing this Astros controversy did is it brought out some feelings from other major league players. No more of this. I'm sick of cheating. Stop it.
Until they're presented with a scheme that helps them win games on another team. But fear not, Vic. Fear not, Pollyanna. We've got a competition coming up that is completely above board.
Yes,
there
no
will
cheating.
Be no cheating in mustache or no mustache. Next, Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Arizona Sports poll question brought to you by Sanderson Ford. Would you want all Major League Baseball games to take place in the Valley? Your choices, absolutely, no way, or depends on coronavirus recovery.
Put me down for absolutely, Vinny, but I'm just optimistic like that.
You're in the 53% majority there.
All right.
Who said absolutely. 34% said depends on coronavirus recovery. And 13% said no way. I don't want them here. I don't need them here. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can find it right now on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
Okay. That from A Million Ways to Die in the
it
West.
It is, that is.
Wait, no, I was just going to ask, what's that from?
A Million Ways to Die in the West, the Seth MacFarlane Western.
All right.
Which I actually thought was really funny.
Yes, up and down, but funny. I love that song.
I laughed a lot, yeah.
Yep. All right, this is America's fastest-growing quiz sensation. It is mustache, not a mustache. I will play a sound bite. It is Dan versus Vince. First one to 10 points wins, and each question you can get possible 2 points. First, you have to tell me if the person talking has a mustache, and then you get a bonus point if you could identify that person. Since Vince won barely in a close game last week, he will go first. Are you ready, Vince?
Yes.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Is the actor's name acceptable?
Yes. Actor's name, yep.
That is Mustache Daniel Day-Lewis.
That is correct. That is 2 points right there. Well done. All right. Are you ready, Dan, for your first one?
I am ready, Jarrett.
I thought that was he disrespected our players, but that's, you know, he likes to play the mind games. That's fine. He might want to try to do it in playoff time when we bust them every year, but we got him 3 more times. That's fine.
Can I make this a little bit easier for you, Bick? You have 7 seconds or less to answer.
That's very funny about that. Well, listen, at the time this was spoken, that was definitely a mustache
yes.
of Mike D'Antoni.
Well done.
He's subsequently shaved that mustache,
that
but at
correct.
The time that was a mustache.
That is correct. Okay, very well done. It is 2-2.
Okay.
Vince?
Yes.
This is a short one, so be ready.
Okay.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Mustache? Clark Gable.
Clark Gable, that is correct.
Playing Rhett Butler.
Wow, I didn't know you were a Gone with the Wind fan. Well done.
I had an older sister who was a Gone with the Wind freak.
That's
really?
A great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes you a week and a half to get through it.
Yeah, it's long and slow and boring.
I remember watching it as a kid, and I was like, wait, this movie has an intermission? I'm out.
I'm out.
Kind of romanticizes the Civil War South also, which is not. All right, Dan, are you ready?
That's a good point. I haven't seen the movie in a while, and you're right, that there is some of that going on.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Jerry.
All right.
During the last few years, we've ventured into a lot of different fields, and we've had the opportunity to meet and work with a lot of wonderful people. I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
It was all started by a mouse.
Okay, I'll say that, yes, that's a mustache, and it's Walt Disney.
That is correct. Two points. Well done. All right. Are you ready?
Thanks for repeating the operative line in that one.
Well, because it's a little hard.
No,
it's a little hard to hear, so I wanted to be fair there. All right, Vinny?
I promised there was going to be no cheating in this.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
That is no mustache. Humphrey Bogart.
Wow, very good.
That's good.
I thought those would kind of be tricky, those
have
older
you,
ones. We
have
got
you
it.
Seen Casablanca?
I've seen several White Houses, but I've never seen the movie.
I have. That actually does. I like that movie. That holds up more.
It's funny you should say that. I saw like the last 20 minutes of it, and I made a mental note to watch it at some point in time.
Yeah, you saw the last 20 minutes
it's
of
a,
it?
That's I did, a, yeah.
Casablanca Fletch double feature at the Bickley Castle tonight.
The two classics. All right. It is 6-4. Vince is winning. Are you ready, Dan?
I am ready.
Hello. Is it me?
This is a great game show. That is definitely a mustache.
Yes.
That is Lionel Richie.
You got it. 2 points, 6-6. We're getting it's hot and heavy here.
I didn't expect a musical.
That was
through.
Good.
That was good.
That was really funny.
All right, Vince.
Yep.
Right on the line. No mistakes so far in this match, right? You haven't overruled anything. No mistakes whatsoever.
6-0.
Answer my question! The question!
No mustache, John McEnroe.
That is correct. Everybody, you're doing too. I got to make these harder, I guess, for next
week. No, it's fine. It's fine. Only Vinny complains when he thinks the questions are too easy for me.
Ow, Ouch. I can't even respond to that. I'll take my standing eight count. Oh, can you continue, Murata? Can you continue?
All right, ready?
All right, lob this next easy one to Ben.
Here we go. Well, yeah, no, like yours haven't been easy.
This is a little, this is
no,
a little,
it's okay.
It's a little tricky, and it's another musical one.
All right. I wonder what's tricky about
the
that.
The tricky part is you have to answer for all the people in the crowd.
No.
Well, okay, listen, I guess I'm walking into a trap here.
No.
But I think it's clearly Freddie Mercury, and I'm going to guess at that point in time he still had the mustache.
That's right, yes, right. Correct. Because he didn't always have a mustache.
Right, exactly.
All right, gotcha. It is a tie game, 8-8 here. Very hot and heavy. All right, Vince, are you ready?
Have you prepared for the event of a tie, Jerry?
I have, actually.
Okay, good.
Ready?
Yes.
Somebody was manipulating me so that I was spending all my energy trying to get Higgins to listen to me instead of solving the case. And that meant only one thing. It was time for desperate, inventive measures. The only problem was I wasn't quite focused on what those desperate, inventive measures should be.
That is a mustache, and it's Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Perhaps. Might be the greatest mustache ever.
It might be, or maybe it's this one, Dan.
For the good old American life. For the money, for the glory, and for the fun. Mostly for the money.
Ooh. One more time?
That's been the hardest one so far.
One more time.
For the good old American life. For the money, for the glory, and for the fun. Mostly for the money.
Wow. No idea.
I don't know that one either.
Oh, my.
No idea.
Well, you have a 50-50 chance on one of the points.
But that doesn't matter, because Vinny's going to win. Then it's 10-9 or 10-8, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that was Burt Reynolds from Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, okay.
And it was, of course, Mustache. So we did not get to our tiebreaker, but here's our tiebreaker. See if we could identify this voice and if Mustache, not a mustache.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Vince. Love the show. I'm just at home listening. Hope you guys are doing well.
I can't say with certainty either way on the mustache.
Yeah, it's been a while, so.
Yeah, I would say nappy hat, definitely.
I would guess mustache Eric Cohen.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You both get bonus points on that.
Well done.
Thank you, Eric.
Like Eric is really going to groom himself during this?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I trimmed off the beard, left just the stash.
Mm.
Now you got to tweet out a picture.
Yes, you got to tweet out a picture.
Speaking of faces, though, what do your guys' faces look like?
You'll see them in 3 to 6 months.
Mine's just as misshapen as it's always been.
You guys.
Yeah. No mustaches for any of us, though. Although, no, Vinny, have you still not shaved?
I still have not shaved. I am one itchy dude right now.
Well, that was another very competitive game.
It was.
Very close.
Great game
well done.
Show.
Yep. And that is how we play mustache, not a mustache.
What time are we playing tomorrow?
Not a mustache.
A mustache, big mustache, thick mustache, my mustache, your mustache.
I'm dancing.
I know where the word mustache. A mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache. If you only got a mustache.
Coming up next, can the Arizona State Sun Devils claim a simulated national championship? We'll tell you whether or not that's the case next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
With mustache again, Lionel Richie. Easy like Sunday morning. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the Commodores, actually.
Yes.
But, yeah. Lionel Richie on vocals. Love this song.
I decided that the Commodores, this song particularly, the Commodores' songs better quality than Lionel Richie's songs.
Completely agree.
Even though Lionel Richie's were probably bigger hits.
Hmm. Yeah. But now
Dancing
better.
On the Ceiling.
Ugh.
Yeah. All Night Long. What was the other one? Ballerina Girl. Remember I spoofed? I did a Lionel
hello,
Richie spoof.
That, the hello ballad yeah. from Lionel Richie.
I did Say You, Say Me, except
that's
it
right.
was Hey You, Pay Me on the David Johnson
oh, that's
front.
Right.
Remember when David Johnson was here?
Remember that? Yeah.
Good guy. Good guy.
Great guy.
All right. We've talked about this a couple of times. Haven't spent too much time on it. But in a simulation done by CBB Sim 2020, March Madness 2020, they simulated the whole NCAA tournament. Last night, they released the results of the simulated championship game, which featured the Michigan State Spartans and the Arizona State Sun Devils. It didn't go well for the Sun Devils in the simulation, Vic. They lost by 21 points, 81-60, so they are the national runners-up.
Well, but they're going to get the title eventually when it's proven that Tom Izzo, in the late career deconstruction of all his morals and image, they award the trophy to ASU.
It's funny because I was talking to Jared about this over message before the show started. This simulation, 538.com did a simulation in which Michigan State won. And I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it yet, but Brandon Gaudin is a play-by-play announcer. And you probably know him best in this part of the country as the play-by-play voice of the Madden video game. He put together a one-man One Shining Moment video, which is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And at the end of his One Shining Moment video, he had Michigan State winning the title, too.
Wow.
Would you have
not over ASU, though.
Not over ASU, but, I mean, would you have thought of Michigan State as a big challenger for that?
No. I mean, again, I think there were two schools out there that were having magical kind of years. Dayton is one, mm-hmm. and San Diego State's the other.
San Diego State started to stumble a little bit late.
And Baylor, I would put it.
Yeah, Baylor too.
Kansas was having a fantastic year.
But Kansas is always good, though.
Yeah, and they usually find a way to choke in the NCAA.
Right, right, right.
So there was that. So no simulated national title for the Sun Devils. News from the NFL, and it's not official yet, but it's being rumored. According to sources, that Hard Knocks, if there is a training camp that's near normal for the NFL, Hard Knocks will feature two teams instead of one, the Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow. And could not be more disinterested.
When I read that, I yawned.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah. Because the Cardinals were eligible. Yeah. And I could see maybe trying to change it up this year, but, I mean, the Rams were just on not too long ago. Who cares about the Chargers?
They don't really have any interesting players or anything.
Phillip Rivers would have been great on Hard Knocks, quite honestly, even though all I rip about Phillip Rivers, he's not there anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought there was going to be a joke about his kids and they're coming. I agree with you. I think Phillip Rivers would have brought some trash-talking coolness to it. The Sean McVay instant memory gag has already been played out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could not be more disinterested in Hard Knocks.
Well, I can't.
Other than it would mean that football players were back in practice.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good thing for everybody concerned, but it's not the best.
Yeah, the fact that
compelling matchup.
If it even exists, that's good news. Because
yes.
if it happens, that means that by the summer,
yeah.
things are back on track.
I think that's important to point out. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers unveiled their new/old uniforms today. Have you got a look at them, Bick?
I saw it briefly. What did you think?
They went exactly back to the uniforms they wore before they ruined their uniforms with these last ones that they had. The Super Bowl era uniforms that they
right.
wore with Brad Johnson.
That's where I thought I've seen them before.
They added a pewter-colored alternate jersey, which looks kind of cool. But there's nothing new or exciting about them at
no,
all.
I was really hoping that they were going to go back to the creamsicle uniform.
That'd be too popular.
It would be.
Like, now that the San Diego Padres have finally gone back to the brown and yellow, and people were calling for that for years and years. So now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the San Diego Padres
of the NFL.
The Chargers, everybody wants the creamsicles.
The Chargers were like that, too. For years, people wanted them to go back to the powder blues, and they didn't, and then they eventually finally did.
But they wore those several times a year as throwbacks or alternate jerseys, too. But now it's their primary jersey.
Mm.
This date in the world of sports, Do you know what was significant about this date in the world of sports, 1975, as it pertains to the Masters Golf Championship, Bick?
1975, that would be... Yeah, I got no clue.
Lee Elder.
Oh.
Broke the color
first
barrier.
African-American
first African-American.
That's right.
And according to this story that I have in this history book that I have in front of me, it's unclear whether or not he played. The 40-year-old Elder and his wife, Rose, drove up the driveway fronting the clubhouse in a red limousine at 2:05 p.m. Large crowds of reporters and well-wishers had gathered before noon, his expected arrival time. When the couple emerged from the car, they were engulfed by photographers and reporters who began firing questions. "I'm not talking," said Elder, who made his way into the clubhouse, registered, and then went into the locker room. The next paragraph reads, "Elder, who qualified for the Masters by winning the Monsanto Open in Pensacola the last year, previous year, played rounds at Augusta National in October and March at the invitation of Cliff Roberts, co-founder of the tournament, but he limited action after his arrival to hitting a few practice shots and avoided the media."
That's, wow. Yeah.
1977 on this day was the very first game for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, the expansion Blue Jays.
And they won 9-5.
George, Garth George, Gaston.
They were not on that team.
Todd Stottlemyre.
Do you want to hear the lineup?
Yeah.
John Scott, Hector Torres,
Doug Ault,
Otto Velez. Remember him? Gary Woods. That was a terrible lineup.
Terrible, man.
16 hits against the Chicago White Sox. You might remember that White Sox team, 77.
Oh, yeah, Ralph Garr. Yeah,
he was the leadoff hitter.
Bill Naharande.
He didn't play that day.
He didn't play that day?
Eric Soderholm. Richie Zisk.
I love Richie Zisk.
Oscar
Gamble.
Oscar Gamble was the DH that
day. Yeah, of course he was. One of the greatest afros in sports history.
And I got to get this because this is a good USFL note. All on this date, 1985, Herschel Walker ran for USFL record 233 yards.
Wow.
And the New Jersey Generals' 31-25 win over the Houston Gamblers. And, yes, I have gone down that rabbit hole during all of this shutdown, Bick.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of USFL footage on YouTube.
Has anyone ever written a lengthy USFL piece I could read right about now, now that I got time on my hands?
What kind of a loser would do that?
It was actually very good, Vicky. I'm just messing with you, man.
Hey, Eric Cohen just tweeted out his mustache, and it's quite a look he's got right now. So
let's just hope he's changed his underwear, because that's probably up for debate.
Or showered. That could be his way of ensuring social distancing, is just not showering.
That's right.
Thanks again to Buster Olney, Kate, and thanks to you for
listening.
Thanks
to you, Vinny. You're doing great, brother.
Have a good day, Bick. We'll catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gabo up next.